Okay? We are on. Okay, Mem Tes Amid Beis. Mem Tes Amid Beis, the Mishnah on the bottom. Today's shir is the Refor Shalema, Tali Bas Tvo Rabina. Here we go. Keitzen Mizamnin, Mem Tes Amid Beis. So again, this parak is all about Brechas HaMazon, so we continue. And the Gemara says, what is Zimun? Keitzen Mizamnin. How do you do Zimun? We've spoken about how many people you need, different types of tziruf, what do you have, how much do you have to eat? That was the last thing that we just said, Kizayas Kibetza. So now the Mishnah says, Ketzer Mizamnin, how do you do the Zimun? So, Bishlosha, Omer Nevarech, when there are three people there, you say, Nevarech Shechal Mishalo, let us, because he, the Mizamnin, must be included. But if there are only three people, then he is one of the Zimun. So that's why Nevarech includes himself. B'shlosha v'hu, Omer Baruchu. But if there's three plus him, if there's four, so then he says Baruchu. Baruchu Hashem Avarach instead of Nevarech. Baruchu meaning commanding the others that they themselves are enough to do Zimun. They don't need him for the Zimun. Rashi says the Habalavdi de'ika Zimun. We'll see if there's any reason to say Baruch Udafka instead of Nevarech. We'll see in the Gemara. Basar Omer Nevarech Elokeinu. Right, if it's 10, you say El Hashem Hashem. Basar Vehu Omer Baruch Hu. Again, you switch from Nevarech to Baruch Hu by all of these. Echad Asara ve'echad Asara Ribo. This is what you say. You say Nevarech and Nevarech. You say Nevarech Elokeinu once you have 10, or even if you have 10,000. Nevarech levokenu is the nuslach of the benching, which contradicts the next line of the Mishnah. So obviously, the Gemara is going to say there are two opinions here, because the very next line of the Mishnah says, "V'meya omer nevarech Hashem alokenu." By 100, you say nevarech not just alokenu but Hashem alokenu. V'meya v'hu, and again nevarech because he includes himself in the zimun. V'meya v'hu omer baruchu. But with 100 and him, 101, then you say baruchu with the same nuslach. Be'elef who omer nevarech Hashem alokenu lokei Yisrael. With 1,000, you say this longer nusach, the God of Israel. Again, you can switch it and say, you yourselves can do this, you don't need me. Beribo, with 10,000, Omer Nevarech, Lashem Elokeinu, Elokei Yisrael, Elokei Tzvakos, Yosheva Kruvim, Alamazon Shachalnu. Longer nusach, that the God of the host, Yosheva Kruvim, Alamazon Shachalnu, upon the food that we ate. Beribo, with 10,001, he's the one. So then again, you could say, Baruchu. Fine. Everything that we've said so far is about what the Mezamein says, but they, the answerers, the Onim, always repeat and parallel what the Mezamein says. That's what they would say if there were 10,000. Rabbi Yossi Aglili Omer, and again we're going to see how these last two opinions fit into the previous part of the Mishnah, because we said that the previous part of the Mishnah already quotes two different opinions. Do you say the same for 10 and 10,000, or is it different? Rabbi Yossi Aglili Omer Lafi Rov HaKol Hei Mevarechim. According to how many people there are, that's how, and your bracha must reflect that number of Jews together. Shene'emar, B'makelos Baruchu Elokim, in the multitudes we thank Hashem, Hashem Yimakar Yisrael. So therefore you see B'makelos, in the multitudes, therefore Rabbi Shmuel learns from there, so that the more B'nai Yisrael you have together, the different nusach of Zimun must be said. Amar Rebbe Akiva, that's not true. Mama tzid bebeis haknesses. Echan Reuben vechan muatim. Amar baruchu es Hashem. Doesn't matter how crowded shul is, if you have 10 men or if you have 10,000 men, you say the same nusach habracha when you do kriyas haTorah. Baruchu es Hashem. Rabbi Shmuel Omer just says baruchu es Hashem amvorach, which is what we say. So either way, says Rabbi Akiva, there's no difference between 10 and 10,000. You should say the same nusach levarach levokeinu. Achlokos Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. We will see that itself is reflected in the earlier part of the Mishnah as well. It's an important Mishnah in that the Mishnah says, Ketzer Mizamnin, how do you do Zimun? And what does it say? The Mishnah doesn't say, Rabbasai Nevarech, Yishem Hashem Baruch Levei. The Mishnah just says, what's Zimun? Nevarech Lashem Elokeinu. The Iker Zimun, what we've been talking about the whole parak, what is Bircha Zimun? The last two lines, what we call Zimun. Nevarech Lashem Elokeinu, where we say, those last three words, that's the Zimun. And then when the Kahal answers, Baruch Shachal Mishalo Tzvachayinu, and then the Mezamein, Baruch Shachal Mishalo Tzvachayinu, that's the Zimun. The first three lines that we say of Rabbosai Nevarech, Yishem Hashem Alach, Bereshus, Maranam Rabbosai, up to that point, that's all getting ready for the Zimun. That's all getting everybody's attention. A couple of daf ago, when we spoke about the Mugmar Gemara, at the end of the previous parak, the Tosfos there and others said, why do we say Bereshus, Rabbosai, to get everybody connected to get everybody's kavana ready. So too here, the Iker Zimun, the Shulchan Aruch says, how do you do Zimun? In Kuf Tzadik Beis, the Shulchan Aruch says, Hayim Subid Shlosha Chayavin BeZimun. What Zimun? Sheomer Echad Mehem Nevarech Sheachalnu Mishalo. Vehemorim Vomrim Baruch Sheachalnu Mishalo Tzvochayinu. That is Zimun, the end part of what we call Zimun. Okay, but that's the Iker. Rabbi Sayyid of Arich, that all is just extra what we do beforehand. Okay, but that comes from our Mishnah, which says, Kesem Mizamnim, Nevarech or Baruch Hu. Okay, Amar Shmuel, Gemara. La'olam al yotzi adam et sasmo min haklau. Shmuel says a person should never take himself when he's done. This is sounds like a general statement, like never the parchment at Sibur, right? The Rambam says it's one of the Dvarim HaMa'akman as a tshuva, I think, in Hilchas Tshuva. He talks about can't be parchment at Sibur. So says Shmuel, you can't be parchment at Sibur, even though it's general, sounds like a general statement, the post can see to understand it as in terms of this. When you bench, you can't be motzi yourself in a klal, and you have to include yourself, meaning say, Nevarech, let us bless Hashem, and not just say, Baruch Hu, you bless Hashem. So that's what Shmuel says. So if Shmuel says that, that's what we ask from the Mishnah. Tznan, B'shalosh Shavu, Omer Baruch Hu, the Mishnah says, when it's four people, it's you and three others, you say, Baruch Hu as Hashem, you bless Hashem. So what do you mean, Nevarech? Why it should be Nevarech? So the Gemara answers, you're right, Ema Af Baruch Hu. Yes, the Mishnah is just telling you that you could even say Baruch Hu. You don't, that even works. Of course you could say Nevarech, but you could even say Baruch Hu. But the Gemara says, but it must be that Nevarech is the better term. Nevarech, including yourself, we will bench, let us bench, that is a better term. How do you know? You know that from the next Mishnah, the bottom of the Amud. Vav nechlokin ad yud. We paskin, let's say there are five men eating together. Five men eating together, they're not allowed to split. Because, you know, those two men that are going to leave, they're not going to have a zimun. If you have six, you're allowed to split it to two groups, three and three. Up to seven, eight, nine, ten, you're not allowed to split again. Okay, but that's what the Mishnah says. If you have six, you're allowed to split three and three. So says the Gemara, if I know that Nevarech is the better language to use, that including yourself in a klal, so that I understand why, if you have six, you can split it to three and three, because just like the six could say Nevarech, the three and the three could say Nevarech, because he's including, even in the three, he could say Nevarech, let us, because he's included in the Zimun. There would be end up having three in each group. Amrit Baruch Hu Adif, but if you say that the Lashon of Baruch Hu is better, that you guys bench, so then Amai Nachlokin, then why should it be allowed for the six to split into two groups? Because once you have the two groups of three, the Mizamin can't say Baruch Hu, you bench, because without him there is no Zimun. So the fact that they're allowed to split and end up saying Nevarech, Elolash, Ramina, Nevarech Adash, Ramina. So that's what proves that Nevarech is a better Lashon, and that's Lamaisa what we do. We say Nevarech Shechana Mishalo, even though Bidi Eved, Baruch Hu would be good enough as well. Tanya Nami Hachi, Bein Shamer Baruch Hu, Bein Shamer Nevarech, Ein Tov Senoso Alkach. Whether he says Baruch Hu or Nevarech, we're not Machpid, whichever one he does is fine. Look at this word. V'hanach Danin, Tov Senoso Alkach. The Nachdanin are, you know, they're Machpid about it. What are the Nachdanim? Rashi says, the Dafkanim, the Dafkaniks. Or the Dafkanim, Rashi says. And you see on the side, on the Arach, goes the Arach, he has a Medaktik Shalo Bedavar Tzarech. Those who are medaktikin about the tiny, minute details that you don't really have to be makmed about. Ubalashan Arabi Karanoso Almankar could go Tarnagoles Hamanakir Ba'ashba. Like a chicken who's picking in the garbage. Somebody who's so picky. That's Ba'ashba, that's exactly what he says. So that's the Nakdanim. Nakdanim, those who are picky, those who are a dafkinik, they're makmed about the Baruch Hu and the Nevarech. But really, Meikar Hadin, either one is fine, but Nevarech is just a better Lasha because he includes himself in the cloud. Fine. Continue. Umi Birchosef Shal Adam. Now we're going to talk a little bit about some of the words we say in benching. Umi Birchosef Shal Adam Nikar Im Tabachacham Uam Lav. From the Nusach HaBracha that a person says, one could tell that if he really has a head on his shoulders, if he's a Talmud Chacham or not. We had a similar Lashon, if you remember earlier, when we discussed about Motzi and HaMotzi, which is the better Lashon, and there was a Talmud Chacham that came and said one, and he says, oh, why'd you say that one? Why don't you say the other one? It shows you a Talmud Chacham. A similar idea coming up. Ketzad, Rebbe Yomer, Uvituvo Harei Zatavar Chacham. If you say the Lashon of, at the end of the Zimun, right? Baruch Shad Chayan Mishalo, Uvituvo Chayinu. And in God's goodness, we live. So hurry the davar chacham. That's the correct lashon. That's what you're supposed to say. Umitu vo chayinu. But if you say and from God's goodness He gives us some harei zebur, that's an ignorant person. Why? Because umitu vo sounds like Kadosh Baruch Hu is only giving some goodness. Really, He gives us all goodness. He gives us all of His. He gives us such tov. So that's why saying umitu vo is incorrect. Say bituvo. Amalei Abayel Ravdimi. I v'haksid. There's a pasuk in Shmuel. Umi berchascha yivarech beis avdecha la'olam. The pasuk there in Navi says, uses the lashon umi berchascha, from your brachos, right? You shall bless the house of your servant. So what do you mean from your? I thought from the goodness, from the brachos is not a good lashon. So the Gemara answers no. B'she'el shayni. When you're asking Hashem for something, you're allowed to say, and it's even proper to say Hashem, please, just this little, just something, a little. You're asking for something, so you have to be an anav when you ask. That's what I say, Hashem, I want everything. So umid rechascha, that's good when you're asking Hashem for things. But after you got everything, you can't say, thanks Hashem for that little bit of, no, you have to thank Hashem for, unbelievable, you gave me everything. Right? Yeshli kol, Yaakov Avinu said. Not yeshli even rav, but yeshli kol. B'she'ela nami ai, even about she'ela haksiv, it says, harchif pichav amaleu. Hashem says to us, Harchei picha, widen your mouth. Open your mouth wide and I'll fill it up, meaning ask for anything. So you see, even in terms of asking, Hashem says the appropriate way is to ask for everything with a wide open mouth. So the Gemara answers, Hahu b'divrei Torah k'siv. No. When are you allowed to ask for, with Harchei picha, well, Archavas peh, when you're asking for divrei Torah, you're asking about learning. You know, we always spend our days and our davenings asking for refuas and yeshuos and parnasa. And when was the last time we asked to be able to understand the shiur? When was the last time we asked to make me a talmid chacham and help me learn more Torah? That's the only time that you're allowed to ask for as much as you want. You know, that's what we have to realize. We have to ask for everything. But I hope the divrei Torah k'siv. When it comes to divrei Torah, harchav pichav amaleh. We can have our chavas peh, ask the Kadosh Baruch Hu for whatever we want. Oh, Tanya. Tanya, Rebbe once had a friend in yeshiva that wondered, are you allowed to daven to ask Hashem to make you need less sleep than you need naturally in order that you can stay up and learn? Is that like asking for a nes? I mean, everybody needs a certain amount of sleep. So is it okay? I don't know. It's an interesting question. You're allowed to ask to need less sleep. So that's like, I don't know if that's included in this. Harcha picha, anything to do with Divrei Torah, you're allowed to have a chavas pet. Tanya, so continuing the words of the benching. Rabbi Omer, bitu vocha yinu, hareza tabar chacham. I mean, if you say in Hashem's goodness, we live, then that's good. That's the tabar chacham. Chayim, if you just say bitu vochayim, in Hashem's goodness, there is life. But you don't say, we live. You're not relating it to yourself. Hareza bor. So that is an ignorant person, because you have to include yourself. You have to say that Hashem is helping me live, not dafka, that Hashem is bringing life to the world. Nahar Bloy Masni Ifcha. In Nahar Bloy, they said the opposite. You should say Chaim instead of Chayinu, because Chayim is more inclusive. You're saying Hashem makes everything live, not just me. But less Elchazok in Nahar Bloy, we paskin Chayinu. We say our life. So interesting. Those two words, Ubetuvo Chayinu. The Gemara talks about Dafka Ubetuvo and Dafka Chayinu. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Nevarich Sheachalnu Mishalo Harizat Tabar Chacham. If you say that lashon. Blessed, right? We bless Hashem that we ate from Him. That's good. L'misha achalnu mishalo hareze bor. To the one, we're blessing to the one who we ate from Him. That's an ignorant person. What exactly did you do wrong here by adding in l'mi? So Rashi says something. I don't fully understand it. Rashi says l'misha achalnu mishalo mashma meru. I know what the words mean, but I just don't understand how you get that from the words of the nusach. Mashma merubin, if you say the words l'misha achalnu mishalo instead of she'achalnu mishalo, that's mashma that there are a lot of people that are sustaining and you're choosing one to thank. I don't exactly know how you get that from l'misha achalnu mishalo, but somehow Rashi says that's what it sounds like, and therefore you're not saying like there's only one, but you're being mashma that there are a lot of sustainers and you're thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for being the one that gave you food. Well, l'mi she'achalnu mituvo is limiting the tov. That's one word, mituvo. This is saying that l'mi she'achalnu mishalo, putting in that l'mi somehow lessens it. So Rashi says l'mi makes it sound like there are a lot of sustainers and you're choosing one. Rabbi Yonah here says something that's bistaver. Again, I don't understand Rashi, so I'm just leaving it as I don't understand it. Rabbi Yonah says no. The point is that she'achalnu mishalo, you're leaving very general. If you don't put a subject in, you know it's Hashem. By the fact that you put in a subject, lemi, why do you put in a subject? Just leave it blank. We know we talk about Hashem. But the fact you're putting in a mila pratis, says Rabbeinu Yonah, that's mashma that you're trying to focus on one single sustainer, and that's why. So that already, that's why it's an extra word. So if it's an extra word, maybe that's the point. That's what Rabbeinu Yonah says. Because you're being miskavi to somebody specific. Okay. Last skinny line. Amr afun ebreid of Yeshua, lo amran elo begimel delek Hashem Shemayim. When are you... I'm sorry, I skipped? I'm sorry. Yes, I skipped. Thank you. Hareza, Amr le Rav Acha, five lines up. Amr le Rav Acha, breid Rav Ashi. V'ha amrinan, how could you say that saying lami is bad? Bez Hashem, in 5 nights from now, we're going to say the Haggadah, and towards the end of Magid, we're going to say, lami sha'asa lavoseinu v'lanu es kol hanisu v'elu. Right by the end, by Lefichach, we're going to say this Lashon. It's Lami. So what do you mean? Lami is a bad Lashon, it says here. We're not all Boros. Right, so what are we saying that for? So Amalei, Hasa Muchacha Milsa. Now there it's obvious, which makes it sound like Rabbeinu Yonah's shot. Meaning there it's obvious who you're talking about. Because what you just say, you're talking about Nisim Lavoseinu. So of course talking about Hashem. Nobody else did Nisim Lavoseinu. Man Avin Nisa Kushabrichu. So then, I guess you don't have to be as medactic, you know exactly who you're referring to. Either way, that's why that's okay. Lamar Reb Yochanan, the Bach changes this to Nevarich. Nevarich she'achal mishalo harizat tabot chacham. If you say Nevarich she'achal mishalo, that's good. Al hamazon she'achalnu harizat bor. But if you focus on the food, on the muzzle that we ate, that's a bor. Again, what exactly are you doing wrong here? So here's Rashi and Tosfos have different opinions. Rashi says, because you left out the word mishalo. Left out the word mishalo, so that itself is sounds like just the food. It's not all coming from him. Tosfos says, no, you're focusing on food, which makes it sound like HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us food, lafuke, other things. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us everything. If you just say, if you don't focus on the food, you say, Baruch Shachanu, we ate from him, but obviously he gives us other things, then fine. But if you don't say, Allah Mazar Shachanu, that's not the best lashon. Okay, and on the side it has a girsa, Debizchazi command de Mavarech le lamazon. Right, you're thanking him for the food itself. Amr afun ebreid of Yeshua, lo amna el begimel. This is only, when could you not say the words of al hamazon shachanu when you have three people, to lack a shem shemayim, where you're not mentioning shem Hashem. Avo ba'asar adika shem shemayim, mucha milsa. Again, if you mention shem Hashem, similar to the Haggadah art, that you said shem Hashem, then it's mucha, then it's obvious who you're referring to. So therefore this lashon is fine. Kitzitran, as it says in our Mishnah, that we just read earlier, k'inyin shumavarech achon inach arav, right, when you have... When was it? 10,000? When you have 10,000, you say that Lashon. Baruch Hashem, Elokei Yisrael, Elokei Tzvakos, Yoshev HaKruvim, Al HaMazot She'achalnu. So you say, Al HaMazot She'achalnu. So you see, it's not such a bad Lashon when you have, when you're saying Shem Hashem anyway. Okay, so those are just about a few different, few of the words that we say in Bench. Echad Asar v'Echad Asar Aribo. So we had in the Mishnah, just remember the context of the Mishnah, some of you walked in late. The first, the beginning of the Mishnah said, if you have three, you say, Nevarech Shachanu Mishalo. If you have 10, you say, Nevarech Lelokeinu Shachanu Mishalo. And then the Mishnah says, and 10 and 10,000 are the exact same thing. And then the very next line of the Mishnah says, and if you have 100, you say, Nevarech Lashem Elokeinu. And if you have 10,000, you say, Nevarech Lashem Elokeinu, Elokeinu, Tzvakos, Yosheva, Kurim, Elazar, Shachanu. Obvious stira. First line of the Mishnah says, you know, 10 or 10,000 is the same. And the very next line, you didn't have to go so far, the very next line in the Mishnah says, there's a difference between 100 and 1,000 and 10,000. So asks the Gemara, Hagufa Kasha, Amart Echad Asar V'Echad Asar Aribo, Al-Maki Hadadinenu, so you see, 10 and 10,000 are the same, V'Hadar K'tani B'Meya Omer B'Elef, B'Elef, K'tani B'Meya Omer, B'Elef Omer, B'Ribo Omer, so you say something different by each of the numbers. So Rabbi Yosef Okasha, Har Rabbi Yosef Lili, Har Rabbi Akiva, no, the same machlokas that's quoted at the end of the Mishnah, where Rabbi Yosef Lili says, you should bless, based on the number of people. And Rabbi Akiva says, no, you should, the same thing, because look in the shul, Rabbi Akiva says. We all say, Baruch Hu Hashem, Barach. We say that no matter how many people are in shul. So therefore, you see, it doesn't make a difference. So really, that's the machlokas earlier in the Mishnah as well, even though there are no names said there. Titzan, Rabbi Yosef Lili, Omer, Lefiro, Vakolhim, Avarachim, Shenemar, B'makhilos, Baruch Hu Elokim. Fine. Next. Omer, Rabbi Akiva, Masim, Rabbeis, HaKnesses. Rabbi Akiva, Haikrod, Rabbi Yosef Lili, my Abidlei. In the Mishnah, Rabbi Yosef Aglili had brought a pasuk to prove that you say a different nusach based on the number of Jews there. B'makhelos baruch hu elokim. In the multitudes, we're going to bless Hashem. So what does Rabbi Akiva do with that pasuk? It must be that he learned something from that pasuk. So what does he learn from that pasuk? My Avid Lei, Mibar Lelekidatani. He learns the following. Hayir Remeir Omer. Remeir says, "Minayin shafilu ubarin shebemeya iman amru shira al hayam." How do you know that even the fetuses inside their mother's womb said shira at Kriyas Yamsuf? Shenemar from this pasuk, "B'makilos baruch hu Elokim Hashem b'kar Yisrael." So b'makilos and the multitudes included even the babies inside their mothers. That's what he learns from that pasuk. Ve'idach mimakar nafka. So the other, what is it? Doesn't Rabbi Shmuel hold of this too? So Rabbi Shmuel says, yeah, you don't need mabakilos. You'll learn it from mimakar. The makar of the isha is the womb, is the uterus. Amarava halacha k'Rabbi Akiva. So we pass it like Rabbi Akiva. You see the same lashon by 10 or 10,000. Unclear to me. Again, you could I looked around a little bit. I didn't find anything. So Gemara said, what do you learn from this pasuk? Oh, he learned that the uber shemaya iman said shira. How does the other person learn it? Oh, he learns it from the other word. What's so important about learning this? So he doesn't learn it. It's an agadat al lechora. Do we learn a halacha from this? I'm not sure. I don't have a good answer. I'm just noting that the Gemara is going out of its way to say this pasuk is coming to teach me this. Like even the shira was so special that even the baby said it. And what about the other person? He also must hold of it. So he has to have another mucker. The Gemara is very serious about having this limud. Okay, it was accepted. Even so, usually don't darshan accepted facts from Sukkim. You darshan halachas. You darshan something that's going to teach me something. So I don't exactly know what. I'm sure there's an answer there. We just have to find it. Okay, Viter. I'm Rabbi Kiva Mamasid. Oh, we did that already. Ravina Rav Chama Barbuzi Iklo LeBei Reish Galusa. Ravina and Rabbi Chama were visiting the Reish Galusa. Come Rav Chama v'kamahad Rabbi Meya. Rav Chama got up and he was looking to get 100 people together in order to bench. So Amalei Ravina lo tzrichas, you don't have to look for 100. Hachei Amar Rava halach Rabbi Akiva. We already said that the halach is like Rabbi Akiva, 10 and 10,000 are the same. Amar Rava ki achlinan rifta beirish galusa. So this is an important story. When Rava says that when we used to eat bread at the Rish Galusa, mevarchin gimel gimel, we used to bench in little groups of three. Rashi here explains that the Reish Galusa had a long Suda, and we finished our Suda way before him. So therefore, we made our little Zimuns in low voices and sat there till the end of the meal until he finished, and then he would be Mezamin with the people that were sitting next to him. That's what's meant by this line. The Gemara says, "V'livrechu yud-yud," so why there were 1,000 people there. So why they make little groups of three? They should at least make 10, groups of 10. So Gemara says, no, Shama Reish Galusa V'ikpin. But then the Reish Galusa would hear, would realize, if you had the Baruch L'Elokeinu, like, what are you benching for? Right? He would get upset. So if you get upset, so that's why they had to do little groups of three. It's not so noticeable. Right? Yishem, right? The minhag many people have to stand up for L'Elokeinu, it would be much more noticeable. So that's why we couldn't do the 10. So the Gemara says, so why didn't they just wait for him? Vinifka, they weren't leaving, it wasn't like they left. So Vinifka Berechas of the Reish Galusa. So why did they just wait and everybody would bench one big Zimun? So our answer is no. Aidi da'avshu kule amalo shami. There were so many people there, they wouldn't have heard him. So it's better, the Gemara says, if you're not going to hear, it's better to have a little Zimun where you are. If you're in a large, let's say, hotel, and you're not going to be able to hear the Mezamein in a large auditorium, whatever, so it's better to make your own private Zimun. Even three, it sounds like, if that's going to cause, let's say, a Bizayon to have big groups of people with 10 making their own Zimuns, that's why even three would be allowed. Important Shuva of Rav Moshe based on this Gemara, or is that really based? He says, maybe this is a Makar. Moshe says in Chelek Aleph, it's a tshuva I think most of us, a lot of us are aware of, but if not, it's a good one to be aware of. Moshe was asked, what do you do by weddings? You go to these weddings, they're 6 hours long, you don't want to stay till Sheva Brachas, you don't want to stay till Zimun, but you're going to go, and it's going to go till 1 o'clock in the morning. So what do you do? So says Rav Moshe, if you're part of the Suda, you really have a chiyuv to stay for the Zimun, to stay for Sheva Brachas. So what do you do? So Rav Moshe says, Aval anias daiti yesh eitza kala. Easy eitza to get out of the problem. De'eluha, this is in Chelek Aleph Nun Vav. De'eluha rotzim shlo luchakos ad gemar hasuda. Because sometimes it finishes, he says, at chatzos, and it takes an hour to get home. So you get home 2 hours after chatzos, then you have to get up for work tomorrow. He says, it's impossible. He says, so what do you do? He says, so you should yomru beferish kodem yash v'lachol. When you go wash before the meal, tell yourself, I do not have kavanah to be part of this zimun. That's it. I'm not being mitzurif to everybody here. And even if you're going to sit at the same table, lo mischayev bezimun. What's the raya? Two rayas he quotes. Quotes a Ramah. The Ramah quotes that if there are a bunch of Jews sitting in a base akum, even though they're all at one meal, one table, he says, ki'ilu achlu below keva. because she yishlochesh v'lira, because she yishana benusach habracha, v'lo yamur harachman yivarech balabayas. Rama says you're not going to be able to say harachman yivarech as a balabayas hazeh. So therefore, you don't want to get into the whole benching issue. You don't want to say anything aloud. So therefore, the Rama says, even though you're eating together, but haraya that if you don't have kavana to be as a tziruf, so then you don't have to bench together. And he quotes another raya from the Magen Avraham in Hilchas Tisha B'Av. The Magen Avraham in Hilchas Tisha B'Av quotes that it's by the Sudam of Sekes, right? We're supposed to eat separately. But let's say you're eating three friends together on the floor. Again, you don't bench bezimun. Why don't you bench bezimun? You sat three together. The answer is no, because obviously there's a das beforehand that you don't want to be mechavein l'tziruf. Again, stam das, you're mechuvan to be mitzuruf. But then he says, he found this in Rav Shlomo Kluger also, but he says that's what it must be for the Shavuot Brachas. But then he says, I don't know where the Rama got this from. Where does the Rama get this from? Maybe the point is that right when you sit down, that's it, it's all finished. You know, even if you have das. He says, maybe it's our Gemara. Because what happened in our Gemara? They all sat down by the Rish Galusa, they all have one big thing, and then they're benching themselves. So he says, Ulai zeh makar harama. This is the makar that just like the Gemara says, you could separate yourself from the larger group into a little three, so maybe by extension, even the little three you could separate yourself from, and that's where Moshe's heter for leaving weddings early.
But
that's a reason, but that's the motivation for what they did. Where Moshe is saying maybe what they did was to have das, not to be part of the zimun. But that would work no matter what the reason is. Whether they raised the flag, we had a couple of daf ago. There's a question about whether by answering amen, they knew what they were up to. So again, brachos might be different than zimun. Zimun might have a higher standard of tziruf. We mentioned on the first amud, the first daf of that we did this perek, that maybe the rav was medayik in the Rambam's lashon that zimun you have to say amen to. You can't just listen and be yotzei because it might have a higher standard of tziruf by birchas zimun. So maybe they're here too. Maybe you have to really hear it. You want to be able to just yosu with the flags. The flags were just by tefillah. Amar Rabba Tosfa, Viter. Hani Gimel Tekarchi Rifte Bahadi Adadi. Let's say three people were eating. Bekadam Chad Minayo Barach Ladaite. And one of them benches. Oh, I forgot. You know, one of them, you're having a zimun, you're having lunch together with the guys, and then somebody goes to the bathroom. It's like, all of a sudden, one benches. You're like, I can't believe you benched already. You blew it. The answer is, he didn't blow it. Eidu Nafkin Bezimun Didei. Eidu Nafkin Bezimun Did Too. As long as two of them didn't bench yet, then even the guy who benched already could still be mitzarif to their zimun, and he could help them out, even though he doesn't get credit for being zimun. She ain't zimun l'mafreya. So he could be mitzarif, but obviously he can't be the mezamein, and he doesn't get credit for the zimun.
Does he have to take him on
Sound for the Gemara? No.
More than once.
What? More than once what? No, you can only do Zimun once. Only
so,
once.
So what do you do then if somebody wants to leave early, you ask them to play a Zimun, and then
you'll bench yourself later.
We
said before that the one guy should wait for you if there are still two people eating. Right, one should wait for two. Two don't have to wait for one.
If the rest of the kahal is then going to do a Zimun, then
what do you mean? You already said Baruch Sha'achalnu. You know, so that you can say Hisham Hashem Baruch Matan Vadalam, that's fine. Okay, Rav from Bar Papa, Ikla Lebe Kanishna Dabe Gibar. Rav Bar Papa went to visit the shul. Come, Krab Sifra, he got up and Baruch Amru, Baruch Oez Hashem. Ishtik, Velo Amar, Hamavorach. He didn't say the last word. Avshu Guli Alba, there was a whole rash in the shul. Baruch Oez Hashem Avorach. Right, you left out the word. So Amar Rava, Pasya Uchma, Bahadi Plugta Lamalacha. Pasya Uchma means a black kli, a black kli cheres. Bahadi Plugsa, Lamalach, what are you getting yourself involved in machlokas? Everybody agrees that's a good lashon, right? In the Mishnah, Rabbi Akiva had said Baruch Hashem is good enough, but we pass him like Rabbi Yishmael. V'yod hanag amok Rabbi Yishmael, we pass him like Rabbi Yishmael. So therefore, you should say Baruch Hashem hamivorach. Fine. Mishnah. Gimel Shach Lukachas, three parts to the Mishnah. Part one. Gimel Shach Lukachas, Einim Rashal Lachalik. Three people that eat together, they can't split up. V'chein Dal, V'chein Chamisha, and also four and five are not allowed to split up. Vav Nechlach and Adasara, six can split up at three and three until you get to ten, then you can't split up. Asara and Nechlach and Adchaf, same thing, once you get to ten, well, you can say Nebarach Lelokenu, so nobody else is allowed to leave, so you get to 20, then you can split 10 and 10. Part two. Let's say you have two groups of people eating in one house. It comes up, let's say, in hotels and camps. Let's say there are two sides of the dining room. So they're not actually in the same place. So let's say in a hotel, one's eating on this side, one's eating on that side. So are you allowed to have a zimun together with two different groups of people? So as long as some of the group could see some of the other group, mitztarfin lezimun, It's good enough to be mezamein. Ve'im lav, elam mezamein la'asav, elam mezamein la'atzman. But if not, then the ish have to have their own zimuns. So the Sharam Sarnim Balacha talks here, what about glass, what about mirrors? So he's makel by glass. He thinks glass, that's considered, you can see each other. Because so it's a glass, let's say you have a glass window in between two groups of people. How about one person eating on a deck and one group eating inside? You know, so that's that kind of, sorry, but let's say you have a mirror. If you have a mirror, they're right on the other corner. They're very close. You could hear them, but you can't see them. So what about a mirror? See, he thinks maybe not. He thinks maybe not a mirror, because a mirror is not. Where we had Erev Bashashas. Remember the Gemara at the end of the third parak, I think. So that's the similar discussion. Okay. Part 3 of the Mishnah. You're not allowed to say Bori Pri Agafen on wine until you dilute it, says Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer, because before that, it's in its natural state, and you'll see, he's going to hold you say Bori Pri Ha'etz. You do say a bracha. Again, wine in the olden days was much stronger. It had to be diluted before it was drunk. What's the chiddush of part 1 of the Mishnah, that if you have 3, they can't split up? We already learned it. The first line of our perek, that teaches me they're not allowed to split up. So what is our Mishnah teaching me? Possibility number 1. Even if three people sat down to eat, and they didn't even really eat yet, even then, the chiyuv of Zeman already gets off the ground. That's the chiddush of our Mishnah, even if they didn't start eating yet. Rabbi Yoni here has 3 different opinions. What does this mean, yashvu ka'achas? So one, he says, the first opinion is that you have to eat a little bit. Don't take sitting down literally. It just means even if you have your own bread that you're eating from. Shayashu means even if you're sitting and you're eating your own bread, still, that's the chiddush of the Mishnah. The second opinion is that no, even if you only ate less than a kezias, you said birchas hamotzi and you ate less than a kezias, that already is mitzvah. That's the chiyuv of zimun already kicks in then. But then the third opinion is the most extreme, and he says, no, take the Gemara literally. Even as long as you got sit down with da'as to eat, that itself, the chiv of Zeman already kicks in, even if you didn't eat anything, and that's the pashas of the Gemara. But again, the Rabbeinu Yonah has these 3 opinions. What exactly is the pshat of the Gemara? Okay, Lishna Achrina, similar lashon, Amar Yabba Amar Shmuel Hachik Tani, and this is part of where the other gears come. The first opinion of Rabbi Yonah comes from. Right, 3 people that are sitting together, even though each are eating from their own challah roll, still they're not allowed to split up. The chiyuv of zima doesn't have to go with, doesn't come from the one bread that they're eating. It comes from the one sitting down. Inami, another, a second idea, what might our Mishnah be teaching us that we don't know from the first Mishnah? The following. Kihad Rafuna Dama Rafuna. Rafuna says, Gimel Shebo Mi Beis Chaburos in Rosh HaLachalik. Let's say you had 3 different people that are now sitting together, but really they all started off their meal eating by somebody else. Right? They were eating in their own 3 groups. And then all of a sudden, these 3 people from the 3 different groups come and sit together and are sitting. Again, let's say a hotel setting where you started off a meal one way, but you see your friend, you want to go eat dessert by your friends. Therefore, you have 3 different people, let's say, got together by the end of the meal, and they're all sitting together. So even in that case, says the Gemara, if you have 3 people here that have to bench, so then they are not allowed to split up either. And the Gemara notes, though, that this is only if when they started their meal, they were mechayev themselves in a zimun. They each started in their own group of 3. So now, just because you're in a different group of 3, so then still they have to do zimun. Sorry, how could they have left in the first place? Good question. But maybe they knew they were going to this place and they left 3 in their place. Let's see. Amar Rava. And Rava says another qualifying line. Velo Amran Ella Delo Akdimu Hanach Fa'azman Alaya Buduchtahu. Let's just translate the words first. And this is only when do you say that the new group of three is allowed to make their own Zimun? When the people in the old groups didn't make their own Zimun yet on them. Aval azmun alayu b'duchtayhu, but if they already made their own zimun, it's a great line, parach zimun minayu. Zimun has flown away from them if their own respective groups have already done zimun, so therefore they can't be make their own new zimun here. What exactly does that line mean? Again, 3 opinions of the Rishonim. What does that mean if they made their own zimun here? So again, Rabbeinu Yonah quotes the 3 different opinions. Where are we here? The same daf, lamazayinam and aleph. So the first opinion is that, what does it mean? It means that only if they didn't answer Zimun already in their first group. But if they already answered Zimun in their first group, so then they can't do it again. So Rabbi Noah says, is that obvious? And what's the chiddush? He already answered Zeman once. Then what's the difference? So that's number one. So number two is the second opinion is Rabbi Yehuda Miparis says it means that they each left, right? This is the biggest chiddush that as long as their group made a Zimun, even though they weren't included, but because their original group made the Zimun, still they can't make their own Zimun, because their original Mechayev of Zimun, their own group, had already benched. So that sounds like, from the Lashon, it sounds like they were Mazmin, Guduchtayu. The only problem with that pshat is that it's Alayu. If they weren't included, what does it mean, Alayu? So then Rabbi Yona gives the third pshat, and this is the pshat of Rashi in our Gemara, and that is, maybe it means that it's one of those kinds where the guy was leaving from his original group, and they called him, hey, just answer for us. So he wasn't really part of it. He was Mitzarit, but he was kind of outside. So the Gemara says that even in that type of case, so then he can't be Mitzurah if he can't make a second Zimun in the new group. Okay, again, three different pshatim of Rabbi Yona on the previous Amud, three different pshatim here. Here we go. Amar Rava. How do you know? How do you know that this is true, that once a Zimun is done in the first place, according to either of the three pshatim that we just mentioned, they can't do it in the new place? Ditan, Mishnah, Kalim. Mita, Shenigdav, Achesya. Let's say you have a bed, and half of it was stolen. So you only have half a bed. Half of it was lost. Or the brothers were splitting up the Yerusha. They said, I want the head of the bed. I want the bottom of the bed. They split it up. So Lomaisa, it's not a bed anymore. Oh, Shutfin, or partners split it up. So Halacha is, let's say the bed had been Tamei, Tahora. Once something gets broken and it's not a Kli anymore, then it loses, it's not Tamei anymore. It's Tahor. Hech Ziruha, but let's say you put the bed back together. The brothers realize that you can't do anything with half a bed, so they bring the bed back and they put it back together. So then, Mikabelas Tumah Mikana Lahaba. Then it becomes, it doesn't, if it was Tummy earlier, it's not that it gets its Tumah back, it's just a new Kli. It's a new Kli, so it's Tummy Mikana Lahaba. It can become Tummy now. But the Gemara says, Mikana Lahaba in Lamafreya Lo, but it's only from now on it can become Tummy. But Lamafreya, it doesn't get its old Tumah back, so therefore, Alma, what do you see? Kiva Tepangua, once it's split up in half, Parak la tuma minay. So then tuma leaves it. So hanami kiban da azbin alayu parak ziman minayu. So similarly, even though it's very different, but similarly here too, once the group of zimun is split up, it's the zimun leaves it, and therefore one is not allowed to do zimun anymore. Again, difficult to know exactly what the kesher is. If we had a shir be'ian, we spend time on the parallel. But that's the parallel that just like there is split up, so too here. Interesting halacha. What does the Gemara say? That once a kli is broken and split up, it loses its shame kli, and therefore it loses its tumah. Right, if you put it back together, so then it's considered a new oven, and therefore it could only makabel tumah from now on and not in the past. So this is good hilchos tumah v'tahara. Does this come up at all halacha l'maisa? So it does for some shitas. So Shlomo Zalman solves a certain problem. Sometimes we buy kalim, for example, a George Foreman grill, or other types of electrical appliances, and the problem about toveling them, like how do you tovel those kind of things? So it's a problem. So according to many, there are some coolers that say, if it's some people have friends of mine that have took the George Foreman, this is not halacha l'maisa, this is took the George Foreman and just dunked the whole thing, and you wait a week or two and you let the whole thing dry and then it works. But some people aren't ready to do that. You know, they just spent the money on the new grill, on the new anything, they think they're going to ruin it. So what else is there to do? So that's something you have to hold it so the remote has a tshuva where maybe if only the parts of that touch the food are in the water, that's also okay. It's also a little hard because if you have one of these things that open like at a right angle, so you can't get it all in at once, tefillah has to be a basachas, even though hagala could be zechar zeh. It has to be a basachas. So what do you do? So another option that's quoted here in the Tefillas Kalim book, in the Tefillas Kalim Sefer from Shlomo Zalman, is that if a professional electrician could take it apart and then put it back together, that's a new kli. And that is also Biyad Yisrael. So it's not that if I just take out a screw and put that screw back in. Or Shlomo Zalman says if it's Dafka Uman, if it's a professional could do this, so then you have to bring it to your, it has to be an electrician in the shul, and you bring it to the electrician and he has to know how to do this. He takes it apart, puts it back, boom, then it doesn't need tefillah. That is called Asiya Biyad Yisrael. Or Shlomo Zalman says he's only allowing this heter by a electrical appliance, because there is a Das Yachid, there is a Shita out there in the Achronim that says Bechlal, electrical appliances don't need tefillah, because when they're plugged in, they're called mechubar. It's not called a kli anymore. So again, that itself, we don't rely on that by itself, but because of that, Rav Shlomo Zalman says, if you do this, put these two together, so then I'll rely on it. But again, somebody, my chavrusa told me yesterday that there was a rav in Karbi Yavne when he was there, that it was a Rosh Shiva there. But he learned how to do this, to take apart George Foreman grills for the Americans, and put it back together, because they all have these grills. So he learned how to do it. He went to school, somebody taught him this professional thing, so he knew how to do it. Take it apart, put it back together, boom, so it doesn't need tefillah. Because it's, That's, again, but connected to this halacha, that once you take a kli apart, you put it back together, it's a new kli for linyan tumah, but it could also be a new kli linyan hilchas tefillah. Beis chaburos.
So the
sandwich makers. Sandwich makers, right, in the olden days, it was sandwich makers, what?
That's what he wants how to take apart.
Sandwich makers? Okay, sandwich makers. Good. So beis chaburos, what? Okay, so I'm sure now he knows George Foreman. Right. So beis chaburos v'chulo tana. So the Mishnah had said if you have two groups that could see each other, as long as they can see each other, they can be mitzarif to the zimun. Tana, important halacha. It means shem shamash beinayim shamash mitzarifan. If there's a waiter that's serving both tables, then even if they can't see each other, that's still a tziruf. As long as there's one waiter for both tables, that would still be able to create a tziruf for the zimun. Next, Ema Barkan Alayayin, the third part of the Mishnah had said that Rabbi Eliezer had said that you're not allowed to make Bori Priagafen on wine until you dilute it, because it's not called wine yet. It's not diluted enough. And the Chum say you can. So, Tanur Rabbanan, Yayin, Achelon, Aslo Tochamayin, Ema Barkan Alayayin, Bori Priagafen, El Bori Priagafen, says Rabbi Eliezer, before you put the water in, you say Bori Priagafen, as we learned all the way back in Kitzin Mavarachin, that before something is in its ultimate state, that you don't say the bracha, you don't say the same brachas. Therefore, wine before its water is added in is not in its ultimate stage of production, and therefore, says Rabbi Eliezer, you say bari priha eitz v'notlin mimenu liyadayim, and then he adds, you're allowed to do netilas yadayim with this wine. And Rashi explains here because the shame mayim alav de me perus ba'alma mikri. Important Rashi. Rashi seems to say that all fruit juices. And this is fruit juice right now, it's not wine yet, it's called mayim le'inyan netilas yadayim. If you look in the Shulchan Aruch and Siman Kuf Samach, the Shulchan Aruch quotes about four different opinions. One of them is this Rashi, that all meperus is good for netilas yadayim, because it's called shem mayim, it's all called mayim. And important for matzah ashira discussions. But once water is put in, then you say and then you can't use it for netilas yadayim, because then it's wine, not mayim, and therefore it can't be used for netilas yadayim. Even though it's very hard and very difficult to drink, you still say on it even before you dilute it. And you can never use wine for netilas yadayim even beforehand. Why? Even before you dilute it. Come on, Ozla. Who is this like? Who is Shmuel? So Shmuel says that you're allowed to do anything you want with bread. You can wipe your hands on bread. You don't have to treat bread bekavod. So who is Shmuel? Like which Tana? Like Rabbi Eliezer. The same Rabbi Eliezer who says you could use wine for netilas yadayim. He's not so machped on bizayon ochlin. So too Shmuel most hold like him, because Shmuel also is not so machped on the halacha bizayon ochlin. Amar Rabbi Yosi bar Chanina. Not that he's not makbid about it, but he just has a different opinion about it. Rabbi Yosef Rachanina, Modim Chachamim Rabbi Eliezer Bekoshal Bracha. No, but even the Chachamim would agree to Rabbi Eliezer that you have to dilute the wine to use for a Koshal Bracha. Shein Mavarchan Alav Hashi'itin Adocha Mayim. My Taima, Amar Boshi Abina Mitzvah Min HaMufchar. No, because that's Mitzvah Min HaMufchar. You have to have a proper wine for a Koshal Bracha, and therefore they would agree that you have to dilute the wine for that case. For Rabbanan Lomai Chazi, the Rabbanan, right, they say you make a bracha by priagafen even before you dilute it. But it's mamish raw wine. What can you use it for? So what are you saying bari priagafen for? Tosfos explains. It didn't go up. Your grapes, you say bari priagafen. When do you say agafen? Because it went up in quality. What kind of up in quality did it go? It didn't go up in quality. So where it says it did, well, by chazi, what's it good for? Amar abzeira chazi lukuraiti. It's good to use in different types of mixtures for medicines, Rashi says, in Omlin. So therefore, it does have a use that grapes didn't have, and therefore, it's still appropriate to say bari priagafen. Fine. Tana Rabbanan. Dalad Varm Nemru Bapath. There are four things that are said about bread. Interesting, these are quoted in Shulchan Aruch in Hilchos Dvarim HaNohagim B'Seuda. Right, it's in that Chelek Beis of Mishnah Berurah. Right, so these the four things. In Manichan Basar Chai Lapas, you can't put a piece of raw meat on the bread. All these four things have to do with not treating food properly. Not treating bread properly. So you can't put a piece of raw meat on bread because it's going to ruin the bread. Vein mavir and kos mali alapas, you can't pass a full cup of wine over bread because there's a good chance it'll spill on it and make it soggy and ruins. Vein zarkan etzabas, you can't throw the bread. Vein somchan etzakarabapas, and you can't, you know, use a piece of challah as a trivet. Right? You can't, it's going to ruin it. Interesting, if you want to look, we don't have time right now, but Piskei Tshuvos, which is the sefer that collects the tshuvas, I'll say to Rabbi Mishnah Berurah. So a couple years ago, he came out with a fat chelek beis. So there, he talks about in this siman, where in kuf ayin aleph, there's a halacha of bizayon ochlin, there's a halacha of ibud ochlin, throwing out food, and even if you're going to throw it out, a halacha of disgracing food. Two different aspects that a lot of these halachas are connected to: ibud ochlin and bizayon ochlin. Fine. These three great rabbis were eating bread together. So brought before them were dates and pomegranates. Shakal Marzutra took pasak lekame derav Ashi distana. So he threw a piece of meat, Rashi says, in front of Rav Ashi. So you're not supposed to throw food. So he said, no, Haiba Pastanya. I only hold that you're not allowed to throw bread. Other food, that's what our kids hold. Right? That's you're allowed to throw other food. Just not allowed to throw bread. But Tanya, Kshem, he's talking to the Paskach, he's talking to the Ochlin. So we have to answer them, it holds you're not allowed to throw any food, not just bread. Amalei, no, Tanya, Avabishin, he's talking to the Paskach, he's talking to the Ochlin. No, I have another price on my side. You're allowed to throw other food, just not bread. Ella Lokashas, how do you put all these sources together? It depends. Hadbibidi de mimis, hadbibidi de lo mimis. It depends if it's the kind of food that gets disgusting if you throw it. If it's the kind of food that gets mius, it becomes, if you throw something, you don't throw a piece of kugel, right? You don't throw some challenge. That's obviously because it's mius. To throw a piece of bread at this point, if just to toss a piece of bread to give somebody, to give them challah, so then, says the, according to this Gemara, it sounds like Mekar Adin is okay. There's some Ayin Hara issues about Avelum, don't pass bread to each other, so you put it down, so some people have that issue by throwing. But either way, it sounds like from this Gemara that as long as it's not a dover most, then it's allowed to be thrown. The Mishnah Berurah talks about in this Simen, about throwing things by an offer. If he says you have to make sure if somebody throws things by an offer, by a bar mitzvah, whatever, it has to be the types of candy and stuff that people aren't going to step on and mush and get disgusting and get the shul all crazy. You shouldn't throw, have soft jellies that are going to get stuck on people's feet. Throw, things that aren't, and I guess you shouldn't throw very hard candy either because you'd give the guy a headache, right? But either way, it has to be somewhere in the middle. Something that's not going to become messy, but something that's not going to cause a mess. It can't be mimbus. Tana Rabbanan, just quickly. They used to pour wine at weddings for a simin tov, that just like the wine is flowing, so too your marriage should flow. So Rashi here says, what's going on here? It's not that you're pouring wine. You have like set up some contraption that you're going to catch the wine. So it's not just going on the floor. That's what Rashi says. You set up this whole contraption. It's like a water, a fountain of water, like in the front of a hotel or something. It's all the same water going around and around. Therefore, you're not losing anything. Rabbi Niona those here says no. The pashas is that even if it's going out to the sewer, right? Why? Because mishum simchas chasam nekala is allowed. It's not called baltashkas. Mishum simchas chasam nekala. The zirkin lefneim klayus that goes in bimosachama, you're allowed to throw nuts in the summertime to them where there's no mud on the street. Avalo bimosach shamim, because then in the rainy season it's going to get achi, it's going to get in the mud and it's going to get ruined. Avoglus loglus goes, you can't throw pieces of bread or pieces of not bread, just like cookies and crackers. Lo bimosachama, avalo bimosach shamim, because those are the types of things that are get disgusting if it's thrown. So therefore, we not throw it. So the rule is lamaisa, you have to treat food properly, and you can't do something that will cause a mius, something to happen to the food. Okay, we'll stop here. Today it was the Refuah Shleima, again the shiur, Tali Bas Dvo Rabina. Tali Bas Dvo Rabina.
The Mishnah said it can't be a mitzvah of two tables.
Unless they see each other, or there's
how
a leader.
How many people are at the table? Does it make a difference?
So it depends.
Well, 9 and 9. That's
fine. I mean, you can be inside there. You'll only want to be inside there if you need each other, I guess.
Right. You're saying the mirror. You're saying the mirror because it's glass, or like off the mirror, like you can.
I'm saying right. If it's through glass, I don't.